Okay. And let's begin with the obvious question. Mishnah Yud. Heim amru shlosha shlosha dvarim. Each said three things. Rabbi Lezer omer, yikvod chavercha chaviv alach kshalcha, valtinoach v'chos, v'shuv yom achad v'chay mitatcha, v'evim mechamem, k'neger oran, shalcha chamem. What's the obvious question? Yes. What? Okay, you see, because it puts them all together. That's a beautiful observation. It's not the most obvious question, though. That's way too sophisticated. Something simple, simple. That's why people give the all advanced, advanced. I'm in graduate school. I haven't started kindergarten. Yeah. But it means three each. But that's not the obvious question either. Yes. One thing?
What's this for?
Okay, what's the obvious question?
Why is it four?
It says that they each said three things and then it goes on to tell us four things.
That's what I thought.
Yeah?
Where's the four?
Oh, I put my hand up.
Okay. Look at the Mishnah. Heim amru shoshad v'rim. They each said three things. You get to the very first of them. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yehi chvod chavercha chaviv alach kisholcha, va'al tehi noach lichos, v'shuv yom achad lifnei mitatcha, ve'evim mitchamim k'neged oran shel chachamim. Isn't that four?
I thought it was part of the same thing.
Shuv yom echad lifnei mitatcha is the same thing as
Noach
lechos. You shouldn't get angry easily, and you should do tshuva before you die. One day before you die. What? How's that one thing?
I don't know.
Is that one thing? That's tshuva. I don't see a connection between.
It's not bolded, but it's not. None of it's right. Bolded in the actual text.
Right. Yeah. There are a lot of answers, and we're going to avoid it right now because we have to get moving. I just want to point out one possibility. Okay, one possibility. And there are, look, if you look in the Farshim, they try to do something along the lines of what Tali did, which is to take two of the statements and combine them into one, so we get three. And you could look at the various suggestions in the Farshim. Okay, whatever. The simple pshat is that there are four statements here. They really do not seem to be. You know, if you're already going to count them as different things, there's more than three. However, I don't think it's referring to these three statements. These three statements are all one of the things, right? It's just a collection. There's all one thing. The reason it says three each is because it's saying that if you put together, and we're not going to do this now, but if you look at the whole perek and you look at the various things that are said about the five Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is, of course, the one who reestablishes Torah in Yavne after the Chorban. This is after the great Chorban, after the terrible Chorban of the huge destruction of everything, and the center of Yerushalayim and the Jewish people, and Mikdash, etc., and Sanhedrin. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai reestablishes the center of Torah in Yavne after the Chorban, shortly after the year 70, and what happens is that there are five key Talmidim, and if you look throughout this parak about the five Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you'll see that there are three stages or three facets to it. These statements are one of the three. Okay, each of this group of statements, however many statements there may be, this is one of the three things. We're not going to go through how you count
the three things.
Meaning there are three groups of things from the Talmidim Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in the whole parak. Now, it's not about this one mishnah, it's talking about the whole parak. Okay, and all these things, that's just one piece of it. Okay, it's not critical. I'm just trying to, the reason I mention it, aside from the fact that we have to train ourselves to see the obvious, is that it's one of the ways in which we see that there's a unity to the whole parak, which is very important to understand, that these are not little things, scattered things about the Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that happen to be put together because of the same people. This is all part of one story. And we're going to try and develop and clarify that story over the next few minutes. Be'ezrat Hashem. Let's take a look. So first of all, fascinating imagery. Rabbi Eliezer, meaning Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, is a borsid sheino mabe tipa. Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach is tamayan hamitgaber. Fascinating imagery. You look at their life history, right? That's exactly Rabbi Eliezer never lost his Torah. Right? Mayim obviously represents Torah. And the Rabbi Lazar, right, he did lose his Torah, but it was kamayan mitgaber, like a renewing spring, right? There was a renewal of his Torah. We go on, and we read that there are two statements in the name of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. One statement of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai places Rabbi Eliezer as the next Gadol Hador, the next great. After Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, the next generation, the greatest of the next generation, according to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, is either Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Elazar. Okay? There is, and I don't mean this in terms of how they felt about it, but from an objective point of view, there's this competition between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Elazar for first place, for who is the number one, right? The number one of Chachmei Yisrael, after Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Keep in the back of your mind this important. We go on. And we have this story about how Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai goes to his five Talmidim, and he says to them, tell me what the best midah is that a person should focus on, should attach themselves to. What should a person attach himself to? What midah? And they each say something. And one says Ayin Tova, and one says Chaver Tov, and goes through the whole list. The winning answer, right, the one that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, ah, that's the one, is, what's the winning answer? Lev Tov. Who gives the answer? Rabbi Elazar. Okay, Rabbi Elazar. Round two. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai then says to them, I don't know if it's the same day, a different day, I don't know, but he turns to them and he says, and what is a midah that you have to stay far away from, that person should be mitrachek from? What would be something not to be, not to do? And they each give their answers. And one of them says, the one who said Shachain Tov now says, Shachain Ra. The one who said, you know, Ayin Tova, Ayin Ra. And so on down the line. And we come to Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar says, Levra. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, surprise, I can't believe it, he says, you know what the best answer was? Rabbi Elazar, Levra, that was the best answer. Now, I ask myself the following question. I'm not going to put you on the spot this time, but I'm going to tell you what question I ask. I said to myself, look, if I had lived at that time, okay? If I had lived at that time, I would not have been one of these five. That's obvious. I would not have made it into this group. However, let's say somehow I snuck into the room, I got to visit just to sit there in the back row, and they maybe even let me say something, a special treat, I don't know, maybe it was my birthday or something, I don't know, whatever it is, and I'm there with all the Talmidim, and the first time around, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, what's the Midah Tova? And I'm saying that I have no idea what the answer is. Say that. Okay? I'm not one of the Talmidim, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, I don't know, how am I supposed to know? I'm sitting there, you know, and I listen to what everyone says, and one says Ayin Tov, and one says, you know, Lev Tov, and one says Shachin Tov, and I'm listening, okay, oh, interesting. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, the right answer is? My answer is?
Lev Tov.
And then he gets up and says, and now I have a second question for you. What is a midah ra sheyirchak mimenah? Now, if he called on me, I mean, even I would not be stupid enough the second time around to say chaver ra or, you know, ayin ra or something like that, right? You can't figure out from the first time what the right answer is going to be. Is there anyone here who would not have figured out that it's not the right answer to say Chaver Ra the second time around? Okay, man, the first time around, you don't know what answer he's going to like. But by the by round two, you know what the right answer is. And everyone, except for Rabbi Lazar, falls right in and gives the wrong answer. Now I'm exaggerating, obviously. But you understand what I'm saying, right? It's an obvious question. So why is it that they don't give the right answer? Okay, and the answer is also obvious, but it's important, and that's why I want to make a point of it. The answer is clearly that you can't just... It's not a question of an intellectual answer. It's not just a question of a factual answer. Okay, let's figure out what the answer is. It's a question of, as we know, each of these midot that they're talking about is a reflection, not of what they think, it's a reflection of who they are and what they are. You can't just get up there and say, the answer is Lev Tov, right? You can't just get up and give the answer. The question is, who are they? What are they? Right, what's their strength? What's their greatness? Only Rabbi Elazar can give the answer of Lev Tov, because that's what he is. And we'll see that that's a very, very important fact as we go on. Let's move forward. Lots of fascinating statements. We'll return to them a little bit, Ezra Hashem, but for the moment, we'll leave it. You've already seen them, and the truth of the matter is that it pays to go over it again after we finish, but for the moment, I'll let you do that yourselves, but let's go on. Avot Rabbi Natan tells the story of how, I'm going to go down a little bit, how at a certain point after Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai dies, so Rabbi Elazar goes to this place called Damasid. It was known by many different names. Some of them come from the Aramaic, some from the Greek. In any case, this place called Damasid, he goes to this place, L'makam Yafeh, Umayim Yafim V'naim, right? It's nice, there's a nice beach there, and it's very pleasant, and a nice, environment, and he goes there, and all the other Talmidim go to Yavne to learn Torah, L'makom Ch'talmidim Chacham Merubim, Ohev Mitzvah Torah, and he goes to Damasid. Hu Shalach L'Damasid L'makom Yafeh, Mayim Yafim V'Naim Nitma'et Shemo B'Torah. Heim Shalachu L'Yavne L'makom Ch'talmidim Chacham Merubim, Ohev Mitzvah Torah, Nitgadel Shemam B'Torah. Okay, version one of the first perspective on the story. Each one of the Chazals complements the other and gives us more of a full picture. We go to Kohelet Rabbah. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai dies, Kishaniftar, Halchu Yavne, Vahalach Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, Eitzel Ishto L'Amos. He follows his wife to Amos, he goes with his wife to Amos, which is the same place, Damasid, in case. Makom Mayim Yafim, Benavim Yafer, Himtin Lehem Achi Yavo, Etzlo V'lo Ba'o. He's waiting for the other Talmidim to join him. After all, he's the superstar, right? It's Machriya Kulam. Kevin Shalobau Bikesh Lelech Etzlam. He wants to join them when he realizes that they're not joining him. And what happens? What happens? His wife says, what are you doing? What are you talking about? Amra, she said to him, Mitzarach Lami, do they need you or do you need them? Who is greater? They really need me more than I need them. Amralo. It's a very cute play on words here. Chemet ha'achbarim, the water flask of the rodents, of the mice. Mi darko lelech etzol mi. Okay? Do the mice come to the water, or does the water go to the mice? Okay? Now, just to give you a tiny insight into what's going on here, the water obviously represents Torah. Okay? Chemet ha'achbarim, because the Amos is actually a transliteration of sorts from the Aramaic version of the name of the place, which is Chamta. Okay? And it's pointed out by Mosef Ha'arach. In any case, the point is that if you understand, he didn't point out in terms of this, but he just points out about the name of the place. If you understand that the place where he went to is called Chamta, you understand why she refers to it as Chemet Hamayim, meaning this is now the reservoir of Torah. Let them come to you, right? Hachbar meitzal Chemet eitzal Hachbar. The water doesn't go to the roans; they come to the water. Shamala v'yashavlo. So he remains there ad sheshachach tamudo. He forgets his Torah. This is a mind-boggling story, no? It's a mind-boggling story. Can you imagine, like, picking up an art score biography about this person who at one point was the Gadol Hador, and he goes off to this resort town and he forgets all his Torah. It's like a wild story. No, it's tragic, but it's such a wild story. Very explicit Chazal. Who would believe such a thing? It's crazy. Let's go a step further. Gets better or worse, as the case may be. The Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Mem Zayin Mebet. I'm Rabbi Chelbo. So we'll skip down just a little bit and say we go to Rabbi Lazman Arach, the end of the line. Rabbi Lazman Arach Ikla Lahatim. He went there, meaning to this place that we've been talking about, and Imshach Batrayu. He gets caught up in the life there, and he Akar Talmudei. He forgets his learning. Ki Hadar Atam. When he comes back to Yavne, he rejoins his chaverim. They have a reunion back at Yavne. Kam Lemikre Besafra. So you can imagine the scene. Here's Rabbi Elazar, right? Our old colleague. He was top. He was the head of the class. Certainly one of the two. And now he hasn't been here for a long time. He comes back, and the other Talmidim greet him warmly. And it's, I don't know, Monday morning or whatever it is. And they say, let's have Rabbi Elazar get an aliyah. And of course, in those days, according to most Rishonim, not quite all, but most Rishonim, there are a couple of Baalei Tosfos who disagree, but most Rishonim say, on the time of the Gemara, the person who got the Aliyah also read from the Torah, right? A simple pshat in the Gemara. One could explain otherwise, but that's a simple pshat in the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar gets up to read his Aliyah, and they're in Shmot Yud Bet, and he gets up to read the words, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Incidentally, a pasuk that, right, it's like one of the most famous psukim ever. We're not talking about something, not that any pasuk in the Torah is, you know, like obscure, but like, we're talking about one of the most famous psukim ever, right? What, you know, what first grader has, you know, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem? He gets up to read HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, and instead of reading, as it says in the Torah, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, what does he read it as? Hacheresh Haya Liban. Okay? Incredible. You have to be a very profound Am Haaretz to read the Pasuk as Hacheresh Haya Liban. Correct? Now, on the one hand, this Gemara is just such an ingenious, and the way the whole thing is constructed, it's just ingenious. You'll see in a moment. On the one hand, I'm going to get to in 1 second what it means and what it means, okay? But one step at a time. But first of all, to understand, you have to understand that in the Torah, right, that those words are very, very similar, right? HaChodesh and HaCheresh, right, the difference between a dalet and a resh is a tiny bit. There's only a tiny difference between a dalet and a resh. If you're not careful when you write a dalet or a resh, you could easily write the other. Correct? Envision like a square, a dalet or a resh. It's almost the same thing. HaChodesh and HaCheresh. Haya, right? And Hazer. Again, small differences. It's a tiny bit. A dot here, a dot there. And Lachem and Libam. Again, a Chaf and a Bet is almost the same thing. Now you look at the halacha of writing a Sefer Torah or Tilma Zuzad, and it talks about you have to be careful when you write a bet that it doesn't look like a chaf. Very easy to switch them. On the other hand, to read one of the most famous psukim in the Torah and you read it instead of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, HaChodesh Hayah Liban. Okay, you can be a literalist and say that Rabbi Elazar really went from being the Gadol Hador to not being able to read the most simple pasuk in Chumash. Okay, this is back in a time where people who knew a lot of, you know, Torah Shebaal Peh also knew Tanakh called. So unfortunately, it's not always true nowadays. But in any case, the Chazal talked about that person can't possibly be a Talmud Chacham without being a Baki in Tanakh. The point is that it's hard to imagine that this is literally true. Now, I don't know. You want to take the Gemara literally? I can't stop you. But I think the Gemara is saying something much deeper. No doubt, it's commenting on the fact that his knowledge in Torah had suffered because of this extended vacation. I understand that. But it's more than that. Let's think about this for a moment. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. What mitzvah is that talking about?
Rosh Chodesh.
Not Rosh Chodesh. It's to be more precise. You're right, it's Rosh Chodesh. But HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem is talking about the mitzvah of? It's talking about Rosh Chodesh, but what aspect of Rosh Chodesh? It's talking about Kiddush HaChodesh. All right? It's talking about establishing the time of Rosh Chodesh. Right? HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem, Rosh Chodesh. I mean, it's on a simple pshat level, it's talking about Rosh Chodesh Nisan being the first month, but the parash of HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem, this is where we derive all of the ideas about Kiddush HaChodesh and, you know, Sanhedrin Agdola establishing the calendar, and if you remember the famous Gemara about, you know, in Rosh Hashanah and Apchapeh about Ram Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua having a difference of opinion as to which day is going to be Rosh Chodesh and therefore which day is going to be Yom Kippur, and Ram Gamliel makes Rabbi Yoshua come carrying his staff and his money bag go meet him on the day that he thinks, meaning that Rabbi Yoshua thinks is Yom Kippur. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Hashanah. That parsha is the ultimate symbol. Is the ultimate symbol. You look throughout Chazal and Mishom, it's very clear. It's the ultimate symbol of the idea that Chachmei Yisrael establish how we keep the mitzvot of the Torah. Meaning, when is Pesach? Right? So it depends on when Beznes Mekadesh L'Chodesh. When is Yom Kippur? Which day is Yom Kippur? It depends on the Sanhedrin Agdola, right? It's not innate like Shabbos, as Ram points out. It's not innate like Shabbos that any Jew can say, okay, well, it's the seventh day, so it's Shabbos. I don't need a Sanhedrin Agdola. Yom Kippur, Pesach, things that are chiyuve karet. If Besdin says that it's this day, it's this day. Say this day, it's this day. It's a symbol of the power of the Sanhedrin to define how we carry out the mitzvah of the Torah. Okay? It's the essence of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem. Even if the Eidim are wrong or lying or the Beis Din mistaken, HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem. HaChoresh Haya Libam. Okay? So, HaChoresh Haya Libam, literally translated, means that their heart was struck dumb. Right, that their heart was unable to speak. Heart became dumb. And from not being able to talk. Right. Who was the lave of the Chachamim? Who was the lave? What we just learned? Rabbi Elazar, right? Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was the lave Tov. Remember? Right? He was the lave Tov of the Chachamim. And look at the beautiful poetry of Chazal here. He goes to Yavne. What's Yavne? Yavne is where the Sanhedrin was, right? It's the center of Torah Shebaal Peh at that time. That's where the Sanhedrin was. That's where they were deciding what day is Rosh Chodesh. And by Lemikre, he wants to participate in the process. He wants to be able to be part of this process of Torah Shebaal Peh, of establishing when Rosh Chodesh is, to establish the calendar, to establish how we keep Torah. And if Rabbi Elazar had never left Yavne, if he had not gone off to, you know, enjoy the beach there, who would have been Koveya the Rosh Chodesh? Who would have been the one who is fulfilling HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem, if not Rabbi Elazar, right? If he weren't number one, he'd be number two. If he weren't the, you know, the Nasi, maybe the Abetin, not the Abetin, maybe the Skanabin, but certainly, he would be one of the key people deciding when Rosh Chodesh is. He comes to Yavne, and the Gemara describes it so beautifully. He wants to read HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, and instead, what does he read? HaChoresh Hayalibam. He's not able to participate. He's not able to, right, speech is the symbol of Torah Shebaal Peh. He's not able to speak. He's struck dumb. The lave of the Chachamim is silenced. That's HaChoresh Hayalibam, right? There's this transformation from HaChoresh Hayalibam means that their heart has become silenced or dumb and unable to speak. Everyone understand what the Gemara is saying here? Everyone, you understand what the Gemara is saying? Right?
Yeah.
Beautiful. The tremendous poetry when Chazal is saying here, there's a transformation from the idea of HaChoresh Hazeh Lechem as applied to Rabbi Elazar to HaChoresh Hayah Libam. Yeah.
So what does it show us though?
We're not done. But he had lost his Torah, meaning, now I don't know if it means he couldn't read a pasuk or that he really forgot it, but he certainly, He wasn't one of the Chachmei Yisraelim. He wasn't one of the leaders of, Torah Shebaal Peh. He wasn't being called Be'er Rosh Chodesh. He had been silenced through his own actions. But that's not the end of the story. The Gemara continues. The Gemara continues. And the Gemara says, follow carefully. The Gemara says, Ba'u Rabbanan Rachame Alei V'Hadar Talmudei. The other Chachamim davened for him that he should regain his learning, and he did. Rabbi Elazar makes a comeback. Okay? He's restored to his original position. Now, I want to ask you a question or two before we finish the Gemara. Okay, we'll finish the Gemara in a moment, but before we do, Rabbi Elazar, okay, comes back to Yavne, his other chaverim, his old colleagues, his old friends, daven for him. Who are these old friends? Can you name, like, one of them for me? Who would be one of, you know, the other?
Rabbi Eliezer.
Okay, Rabbi Eliezer. And watch what happens. Rabbi Eliezer, for all those years they were learning by Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, there was this implicit competition between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Eliezer, who was greater, who would outweigh everyone else. And I'm not saying there was jealousy or anything like that. I'm saying that, but Lamaisa, there's always this question, who was number one? Then Rabbi Elazar drops out of the race. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't do anything, right? Just the other guy dropped out of the race. And now, if you go to Yavne, who's clearly number one, right? There's no question anymore. It's clearly Rabbi Eliezer. And one fine day, after many years that Rabbi Elazar was off vacationing, Rabbi Eliezer is hard at work in the Beis Medrash, what happens? Rabbi Elazar shows up, and Hacheresh Hayaliban. And what's Rabbi Eliezer's reaction? The reaction is, says the Gemara, the reaction is, Bo Rabbanan Rachame Alei V'Hadar Talmudei. Right? And what happens? He says, Nebuch, poor Rabbi Elazar, and he davens for Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar regains his Torah. And once again, who is the greatest? Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, right? It's once again a competition. Again, please understand the way in which I mean that. Let's go a step further. I want to show you, this is, I think, just incredible. I want to show you what I mean when I say that the Mishnayot and Avot are not about things that people said, but it's about their lives. And there are so many statements here, but I want to show you one. This is the most important one. Mishnah Yud, back to that same Mishnah. Haim Amru Shlosha Shlosha Dvarim. The first is Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. What's the first statement of Rabbi Eliezer? Yehi Chavod Chavercha Chaviv Alecha Kishalcha. You hear what Rabbi Eliezer says here? Your friend, your colleague's kavod should be as precious to you as your own. It's a beautiful thing to say, but anybody can say it. But what does Rabbi Eliezer do? Isn't that exactly the life of Rabbi Eliezer? Yehi chavod chavercha chaviv alecha shalcha. Here, the one person in all of Bnei Israel, the one person in the whole world who is potentially competition for him, walks into the Beis Medrash and he's forgotten his Torah through his own fault. But Nebuch, whose kavod does Rabbi Eliezer worry about? His own or his chaver? Right? His or Rabbi Elazar's? And he davens for Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar regains his learning. And that's what means that Rabbi Eliezer says, Yehi chavod chaver, Yehi chavod chavercha chaviv alecha kashalcha. To my mind, it's the most beautiful illustration of what it means that the Mishnayot and Avot are not about things that people said. People say all kinds of things, and they may be beautiful things. Very nice to give a drasha. But that's not what it's about. It's about being a living role model of midot and ideas, and not about saying them. Saying them is very easy. There are lots of people around who say all kinds of very lofty things. It's not their life. It's not who they are. It's not what they're about. This is Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is the real thing. He when he didn't say, he didn't merely say, this is exactly how he lives. Now, forgive me for just one second. I just want to finish the Gemara for a second. I just want to show you something. The Gemara then concludes. Vahainu detanan. And now I want to show you the idea that we've been learning all along, based on the Rashbam, based on our understanding of Mishnayot, v'chule. I want to show it to you in the Gemara. Okay? It goes, doesn't start with the Rashbam. Not that that's not a good enough source, but it goes back to the Gemara. Better yet, v'hainu detanan. That's what the Mishnah says in Avot. Right? The Mishnah in Avot, in Perek Dalet. Rabbi Nahorai Omer, Havei Golel, Mekom Torah. Should go to a place of Torah. Val tomar shi tavo acharecha. Don't say it will come to you. Shechaverecha yikaimu biyadcha, that your chaverim will establish it in your hands. Vel binatcha al tisha'ein. Don't rely on your own wisdom. Isn't that the story of, whose story is that? Right? Rabbi Elazar. One phrase after another, one word after another. He goes, he's gola not to makam Torah, but to, instead he goes to this place, damasit, chamta. He says that his friends are going to, the Torah is going to come to him, his friends are going to establish in his hands, and that he's relying on his bina, that he's the one, he's the flask that everyone has to come to. Continues the Gemara, Tana lo Rabbi Nahorai Shemo, el Rabbi Nechemia Shemo. His name is not really Rabbi Nahorai, it's a nickname, it's really Rabbi Nechemia. Va'amri la, and they say that, and others say that, who is it really? Rabbi Elazar ben Arach Shemo. Lama nekra Shemo Rabbi Nahorai, Sheman here, Einei Chachamim Bahalacha. Rabbi Nahorai, right from the Hora, light, is a nickname. He would light up. He would enlighten the other Chachamim in Halacha. But his real name is Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Elazar ben Arach is the one who says, Hevei Golel Mekom Torah, Val Tomar Shi Tavo Elecha, Acharecha rather, Shechaverecha Yikaimu Abiyadcha, The Gemara is telling us the Mishnah and Avot of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach and his life story are one and the same. Okay, we learn from the great midot, from the great courageous acts of Rabbi Elazar, of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, and Yehi Chavod Chaverecha, Chaviv Lach Eshelcha. We also learn from the mistakes of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. That's what narrative is. That's what the Torah does in Chumash. And that's what the Torah does in Masechet Avot, right? It's a learning from people's lives, from their character, from the role models they present, l'tov and l'ra. We learn, as the Ramban says, from the greatness of Avram Avinu, and we learn from the mistakes of Avram Avinu. Chata Avram Avinu, chet gedolah b'shkada. Ramban doesn't hesitate to say. We learn from both. That's part of the narrative of the Torah. That's part of the narrative of Avot as well. I think that this is one illustration. We could spend, forever going through one by one, but this is, I think, one of the most beautiful illustrations of it. Okay, we need to just look at one more thing, which is Perek Hay, but don't look at it now. We will look at it Be'ezra Hashem next week. Time, Gina, you had a question or comment? I'm sorry I cut you away. I just wanted to finish up the Gemara.
Yeah, okay, so... If we were saying that Avot isn't about the way that, the things that people do, but it's really about how they live their lives. So a lot of times people who have a certain goal in their lives, they talk an ideal. They say, I'm the type of person who does X, Y, Z, even though it might not necessarily
be true yet. Okay.
All the time, but that's the ideal that they're working towards.
Do you
think it's better in the way that you speak for that to be a representation of who you are or who you want to be?
That's a very interesting and good question. I think it's a separate question from what we're talking about. Again, I'm not saying, let me say what I'm not saying, okay? Because I think that deserves a special, separate discussion rather than just a quick answer. And I can't guarantee whether you will or will not have the opportunity, but what I'm saying is the following. My point is not to say that, that there might not be a value in anything else. I'm just saying that what Masechet Avot is about is not about people telling us a statement, but rather about the Mishnayot telling us something about these people and what we learn from them, whether it's from their mistakes, whether it's from their failures, whether it's from their character or from their actions or how they serve as role model, whatever the case may be. Okay? this was a very, very short and brief introduction to this phenomenon, Masechet Avot, through the first four chapters. Masechet Avot consists of five chapters, not four. Be'ezrat Hashem, we're going to look briefly at the fifth chapter next time and wrap it up and then move on to other things. We're going to start with a look at the fifth chapter. So, everyone please listen very, very carefully. Everyone's listening? Everyone's listening? Yes? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. On Yom Sheni, Aleinu Tava, Bezrat Hashem, we're going to start in the Beis Medrash, not here. Okay, we're going to start in the Beis Medrash. Okay? With the second side. Okay? I ask everyone to please take a little bit of time to go through and learn through, not now, but on Yom Sheni, to please learn through the fifth parak. Okay, at least as much of it is on the second side of the sheet. Mesh Hashem, we will discuss it together a little bit before moving on. So let's start in the Beis Medrash. You don't have to wait for me to tell you what to do or anything like that. Just get working on it right away as soon as you hit the Beis Medrash for morning Seder. Everyone Shabbat Shalom. So Hashem, we will continue.
Thank you.